That music means it is time to talk sports with Stroman. I am joined on the phone, as I always am on Fridays, with Dr. Debbie Stroman, which there's a lot to talk about in sports today, Deb. I hope you're doing all right, but we're going to start with a pretty somber story, I think.
You're exactly right. This is the type of loss when everybody in the sport world stops, hopefully saying prayers, but also just thinking about the impact of Hank Aaron, who passed away. And I'm definitely going to respect him and call him Mr. Aaron or Henry, because actually he didn't like being called Hank. But, you know, my thoughts are really, really around being a pioneer, as in what exists today was born from the attitude and activity of those who go before you. And so I think about Reggie Jackson, who was one of my favorite baseball players, Ricky Henderson, just an incredible, not only hitter, but base runner, Ken Griffey, Derek Jeter, Aaron Judge, and Mookie Betts. So that pioneering role that he did for so many people. And then when I think about Carolina, I think about Charlie Scott, a friend of mine, and Phil Fort, and what they did for UNC men's basketball, such that we have an Antoine Jameson, a Harrison Barnes, and a Garrison Brooks. And so his pioneering work is just something that hopefully will continue to lift up now that he's transitioned on.
Absolutely. I think it's a lot of people are talking about this today in his passing, and I think many people have known it for a while. About the racism that he faced while chasing the home run title and as his numbers were getting closer and closer to Babe Ruth. But it's interesting to me that, you know, Jackie Robinson obviously deserves to be held up as the person who, you know, really helped break the color barrier in the MLB. In terms of the mainstream audiences, I mean, being the first black player that people really got to know and really began to that mainstream and white audiences began to cheer for. But it's also a very interesting story for Hank Aaron, who, many years later, 30 years later, was still facing the same kind of racism and threats and hate mail that Jackie Robinson saw when he first played in the MLB. And you know, we like to think of ourselves, of course, as progressive. And I think Jackie Robinson's story is a great feeling in terms of, oh, everybody ended up rallying around Jackie, even though people got upset with him. But, I mean, you could still look at what happened with Hank Aaron in the 1970s and say, well, that also exists there. The racism did not go away.
And sadly, it hasn't gone away in 2021.
Of course.
Right? The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And so you can start with Satchel Paige and the Negro Leagues and the men who got the opportunity to play in Major League Baseball and what they went through. And then we can bring it forward to the 50s, the 70s, the 90s, and 2000s, where we're still seeing that racism. Now, is it as overt, in your face, calling you the N-word, throwing banana peels out there on the field? You know, the death threats, not being able to live in certain communities, not being able to stay in the hotels as your white teammates, not being able to go to the same restaurants as your white teammates. You know, that overt, you know, type of ugly behavior, evil behavior is gone, but certainly the racism still exists. It just happens in a different way. But no doubt, you know, this is someone that I believe would be on the Mount Rushmore of baseball and arguably for all sports. But when he, it was pretty predictable that he was going to break the record. And the commissioner, Commissioner Coon, he didn't even show up. He went to a booster meeting for the Cleveland franchise. And so that just is another example of the lack of respect. And then the lack of recognition that he should have been the first black manager for Major League Baseball, but he was overlooked, and that hurt him dearly as well. The following year, in 1975, Frank Robinson got the nod. But there is no doubt that what he went through, and again, athletes today, and in fact, another example of the way it exists today is to tell a black athlete just to shut up and dribble. So it still exists. But again, we thank Mr. Aaron for all that he did, and not just for race relations, you know, talking about his work in the community and to help us bring more attention to the coronavirus as well. So he was trying to do his best to help all Americans, all humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. I was raised a Braves fan, still am a pretty hardcore Braves fan, and I know I was raised that way because my dad was, and I know that Henry Aaron was a big part of that. He describes Hank as his first ever Braves hero, and I imagine that's the case for a lot of people in the South, too. I mean, it wasn't that Hank was just going through this and facing that kind of stuff that Jackie Robinson did across the country, but, I mean, his home team, the one that he played for, was in the Deep South. I think that also has a lot to play in terms of speaking to his dignity, grace, resilience to just continue doing what he was doing at the highest level that anybody had seen at the time.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no doubt that the Atlanta Braves and the Washington football team are special, special to Virginia, North, and South Carolina. Generally, you know, those two teams are the teams that most Carolinians followed because there was no television. There was radio. And so when you would turn on your radio, that was the signal that you could get. It was, you know, a lot of people in the Carolinas, you know, because of their grandpa, grandmother, their parents followed Washington football. And for baseball, they followed the Braves because that's the only teams they could, that they knew about. Now, of course, now we've expanded. We've got the Marlins, right, or the Dolphins, and then, of course, we have our own Panthers. So there's many more teams, but that tradition, I truly understand, Brighton, how you ended up being a Braves fan because of your father and his interest, as in, this is my home team. But the Atlanta Braves are definitely special to the South, and certainly, you know, having Mr. Aaron there and what he did to increase the attendance, to increase the joy of watching him knock that ball out of the park. And of course, his field play as well. People don't know he won. You know, he was a very, very good defender as well, outfielder, winning Golden Glove. So just a wonderful, wonderful life. And we salute him today. And hopefully the tributes will continue on for a long period of time. There's no doubt the Major League Baseball, compared to the NBA and the NFL, that they are definitely behind the eight ball in terms of action around our race relations work. And hopefully this will be another inspiration for them to go to the next level.
We are speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman. You mentioned UNC basketball earlier, and the Tar Heels have an upcoming game this weekend. Wanted to get your thoughts on that, how the team has looked so far this season, and anything else that you're willing to share.
Well, there's no doubt. I'm one of many who believe that we should all be grateful for the season to even exist. And I'm still not sure that it's even going to finish, because when we think about all the cancellations and rescheduling, but the first thing on my mind is that it is a restart for both teams, interruptions, not being able to practice as much, and not being able to practice with everybody being there ready to go. And so it's a restart definitely for the Wolfpack. So that'll be interesting. The second is that Carolina is young. KenPom ranked Carolina 326th as in least experienced team out of 342 teams. And so we've got the first-year players on the team have played 50% of all of the minutes. And so when you have first-year players, generally you don't know what you're going to get. One moment they could look all ACC, and the next moment, that you know, they are indeed months away from playing a high school game. And then lastly, you know, I put my chips on the Tar Heels because Raleigh seems to be our home court. We've won two in a row there and 15 out of 17 home games against NC State. And I know they want to pay back. So I'm looking forward to watching the game, and hopefully the Tar Heels will be able to, you know, have the young guys feel good about going over to Raleigh and getting a W. And of course, I'm a big believer in the post game as well. So hopefully our bigs will play well and have a good outing.
No doubt about it. And I think it's encouraging for many Heels fans to see freshman guard Caleb Love, who has fallen under scrutiny because of that play, but there's no doubt that he's one of the babies that's on the team, and that has to play a big role as a ball handler. He had his best game in a Tar Heel uniform this past outing against Wake Forest.
And that's exactly right. And so when you have so much pressure, and then everybody knows that it takes a while to learn the college game, let alone UNC system, and then being the number one team on everybody's schedule, they're circling the Tar Heels. But that's what they signed up for, right? Four or five-star athletes You come to Chapel Hill knowing that this is your challenge. And everybody gives you a little grace period. I'll say, sadly, some in the Tar Heel Nation don't give a grace period at all. They feel as soon as they put the uniform on, they should be playing at a top, top level. But that is the challenge. They said this is what they wanted, and it's going to make them better players. But for we have to understand that it's not going to be immediate. But I'm expecting, again, the rivalry game for them to go over and play well and really focus.
It will be airing right here on 97.9 The Hill with tip-off at 2 p.m. You'll be able to hear pregame, postgame coverage as well right here. Deb, thanks so much for joining us again. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.